He has a big butt and a bigger following.
In 2023 alone, I got 4 billion views.
Your channels should be a course in college.
I'm your host, Jason Raznick, founder of Benzinga, a leading platform in the financial world with the mission to level the playing field for individual investors. And this is the Raz Report podcast, where we share inspiring stories, expert advice, and exclusive perspectives to keep you ahead of the ever-changing world of investments and entrepreneurship. Let's dive into the show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Raz Report. We have an exciting one for you. We have a digital creator that everyone has seen his videos. If you haven't, then you're living under a rock. So this name is Frankie LaPenna. It is amazing what this guy has grown from. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He averages a couple hundred million views a month. He's the mastermind behind the world famous green screen Zoom call series. He's launched his own merchandise line. We're going to dive into his journey, where it all began to get this viral fame and his creative ventures. He has a big butt and a bigger following. Frankie, thank you for coming on the Raz Report.
Yeah,
it's amazing to meet you. Hundreds of millions of views. I go into your YouTube thinking, 10 million views. Your videos, your shorts, 594 million views, Olympic trampoline at a pool party, world's quickest knockout, 400 million views. When you posted these videos, did you have any idea they're going to grow like that? And I know these are YouTube shorts, but did you have any idea they're going to grow like that?
No, you never know. I have a good idea, or I'll be more confident in some rather than others. But for instance, my most viral one, that me jumping into a pool party, I didn't think it was that cool. I didn't think it was going to be. It is definitely not my most impressive video. It's just so one thing people don't know about that one is very weird. Over half or about half of the views on that are people from India. For whatever reason, the country of India loved that video. Maybe if there's somebody watching this podcast that's from India, you can explain in the comments below why it was so appealing. If there's some inside joke over there, we don't know.
Yeah, jumping in a pool. Well, I'm actually going, and we're going to talk about YouTube shorts versus YouTube regular videos in a second, and how much money you make per year on this stuff. But I'm looking at one of your oldest shorts, world's first Zoom call squat. Okay, so cue the B-roll on this. You have a green screen attached to you. You have a computer, this contraption. Like, how did you come up with this thing?
Yeah, so I went to Grand Valley State University.
GVSU.
Yeah, GVSU.
I used to sell textbooks online. I created one of the first textbooks back in the 90s. Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably bought some from the Lakers store.
Yeah, GVSU, baby. Yeah. I remember. That's why I know all the schools around town. When someone names like a small random school and I don't know it, I'm like shocked because I had to build the database of all the schools. There's so many.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So I was going to Grand Valley. I was a film and video student, and it was during COVID. COVID hit in 2020, March 8, right, is when everything started shutting down. And then shortly after that, all the Zoom calls, classes started happening, and it was a pain in the ass. And I started taking the calls from my car. On my drive home, I'd be taking one of my classes and have the camera off. And it worked out for me for 2-3 months. And then one time I got called on to turn on my camera. I got in trouble. And so I developed this green screen to put behind myself
amazing.
Could adjust the background to make it look like you're in an office, but in reality, you're out doing something else. And then I made a video of that because I thought it was funny. Put it on TikTok and went super
viral.
Did
it ever really work, though?
So right around when I really dialed in my setup, I graduated. So I never really got to test it.
And then you made a video, and then this green screen thing that you, this contraption, like became a thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, people aren't running around out in the wild doing it for real, but it does work. Yeah.
You like a carpenter too, like to build this thing?
No, I went to a local hardware store that my buddy owns in Grand Rapids, and it was like $9 worth of PVC pipes and glue.
I'm looking at it now. Okay. Yeah. So your YouTube shorts, I was going to brag to you. My son has a YouTube short that has 19 million views, interviewing golfers, like who's the most famous contact on their phone. He's 11 and he goes around. So I thought 19 million was a lot. And then I go to your YouTube shorts, 594, 400 million, 300 million, 250 million. I would think you're making a lot of money through YouTube. But do you know like what kind of traffic you're getting to YouTube Shorts? What like are you one of the top ranked YouTubers? Or yes.
So.
Oh, and you have 8 million plus followers, subscribers,
subscribers. Yeah, it is. YouTube Shorts really is a cheat code for getting views and subscribers. It's unreal. So I am in the top 1% of the YouTube Shorts, as like in terms of measuring performance. My channel, and people think this is a big misconception that I'm making millions and millions of dollars from YouTube Shorts, because in 2023 alone, I got 4 billion views, billion with a B.
4 billion.
4 billion. I mean,
there's like 5 to 6 yes. billion people in the world, yeah. You know?
Some of them are returning viewers probably. And from...
Well, sure, but yeah, still $4 billion. You're
is unreal. That's worth a lot of money. Let's say it's
800 million people. You know,
you'd think that it's worth a lot of money to advertisers. So, in 2023, I made just over $100,000 from monetization on YouTube Shorts, and
$100,000. See, I would,
which is good money, but for the amount of views, you'd think it'd be way.
$4 billion, which is, you said, is like top 1%.
Top 1%.
I would think it's a 7-digit check you would have got.
Yeah. No, YouTube Shorts is not. I'm sure when I'm done doing this in 4 or 5 years, it'll be paying millions, YouTube Shorts. But right now is kind of the beginning of it. Especially, I mean, 2020, 2021, YouTube Shorts was just becoming a thing. And so now the money's getting better every year. It's just not great. Like, I wouldn't even call it. It's definitely not sustainable. Like, if you were to try to be a YouTube short creator as a career path, that's not going to happen, because unless you're getting 10 billion views, I mean, you could live comfortably with $100,000 in some places in the country, but the odds that your videos are going to perform that good are almost zero.
Yeah. And I mean, because like to get that kind of views
is impossible.
Impossible. And you have the library. And, but I guess positive things can lead from that. You just, before we started this show, you mentioned that you just did a candy,
So the way that I make money, real money, is from brand deals and partnerships, ad campaigns. So for instance, I just did a campaign with Candy Crush, the app, which is one of those fun apps where you match candies. And it was me and John Cena. Somehow they decided we're the two candidates they wanted for the video.
Just saw John Cena in a movie, Trainwreck, and I had my 7-year-old daughter with me, and there's some big sex scenes that I had to keep forwarding, like pause forwarding over. She's like, no, go back. She has no idea. She's like, Dad, that guy was just twerking.
Oh, jeez.
That's what he
was. It rated R?
It was rated. I don't know. I don't know. I had to go because she thinks that he was doing a date. She thinks he was doing a dance move. So we'll be able to look back on this like 10 years from now and laugh.
Yeah, but he's a hot topic right now. I mean, he's just naked at the Grammys, and he just came out with that other movie, Ricky Stenicki.
And you just did it. You just did a thing with him.
Yeah, it was unreal. I think that's the biggest A-list celebrity I've done a video with. The only other videos I've done with celebrities is Jason Derulo, Marshmello the DJ. David Dobrik. John Cena is like a different type of, he's an A-list, right?
Was Jason Derulo cool?
Yeah, he is. I've with a lot of these people, I'm never with them off camera, just hanging out. I'm constantly on camera, so they could behave differently, but I don't know, because I wasn't with them, just hanging out casually. But when we were on camera, super, super nice, super cool.
Do you stay in touch with any of these guys you do these things with, like Dobrik or any of these?
No, I stay in touch with their agents or managers or videographers.
Yep.
And when I come back into town, we'll shoot them a text, be like, hey, is XYZ available? Let's make another video.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to your career and like how you got started in this whole game, but let's just finish this YouTube discussion. So your YouTube, $100,000 last year for your shorts of 4 billion views, which is tremendous amount. Your YouTube longer videos, not as many views, and that's where more of the advertisers' revenue comes in, right?
Yep.
And what I was going to go, Instagram and TikTok, you don't make money from?
Correct. I am not monetized on TikTok or Instagram.
Why not?
Because the money is so bad.
Is it?
It's laughable. The TikTok just came out with a new incentive to make the 60-second plus videos. You'll make a lot more money there, but I rarely make something over 60. So
couldn't you take four of your videos and put it into one? Four of your clips? I mean, I don't know if that's...
I could start making little mini compilations, but my videos want to know are so... They're so one-off. They're so different. Each one is so... They're its own individual weird thing. And I could do a compilation. It might... I don't know. I could try. I could see what happens, but...
Yeah, I just wonder. And then you mentioned 29 days ago you got on Snapchat.
Yeah, so... I got verified on Snapchat, which then you get access to the Snapchat is weird to me. It's so different than the other apps. You get access to the Discover page.
Okay.
Once you become a Snap star, and then you can start doing public stories, but then they also have Spotlight, and that's a separate thing. Snapchat is very confusing to me. That's why I haven't been able to figure it out until now.
Will you get paid on Snapchat?
Eventually, yeah. The money, from what I'm being told, is really good on there.
That's what I'm being told.
Yeah.
That's I have some past TikTokers who make great money on Snapchat now. You went from zero to 208,000. Well, you had followers, but 208,000 subscribers. So you're uploading your library of content, and then somehow people discover it on Snapchat.
Yeah. So Snapchat has Spotlight, which is exactly the same thing as TikTok or Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts. It's just a little emblem within the app on the bottom right corner. You press, and then it pulls up a feed of videos that are going viral and trending. So you can make money from Spotlight, but you can also make money from stories.
So it'll be interesting to see how you do on Snapchat.
Yeah. Advertisers on there, for whatever reason, are paying so much money. I don't know if it's because they're seeing a good ROI versus TikTok and Instagram and YouTube or what.
It's just shocking to me because Snapchat's stock, Benzinga, we're in the financial media space, stock market, and the stock has not performed well. Whereas like these other ones like Google you think these other ones like Facebook, Instagram, you think Instagram would be paying pretty good money. How many followers do you have on Instagram?
1.92 million.
I mean, like, do you get like another 50,000 every month? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't really study or look at my analytics on Instagram.
Because it doesn't matter.
No, because I'm not making, not that it's all about money, but it's the primary focus for me is constantly putting out the best, most impressive, most funny videos possible. Because if that is happening, if I can do two uploads a week, which is what I average, and both of them are bangers, both of them are hard hitters and do lots of views, then everything else will fall in line.
Yeah.
Like, if you can stay relevant, get billions of views, then everything else will fall in line. All the brand deals will fall in line. All the followers will keep going up. All the relevancy will stay there. And that's the game that everybody plays, is to stay relevant. Because you do something 2 months ago that goes mega, mega viral, and not today, it's irrelevant. It's like... People, the internet moves so fast, and if you are relevant even 2 weeks ago, people don't care now. What's the next thing? What's the next funniest, biggest meme or thing? You know, it's hard to stay relevant for a long time.
I mean, what you've done, let's go back to Frankie LaPena, like, before this social media fame. You're from Grand Rapids, Michigan. You went to Grand Valley State. Yep. Did you know what you wanted to be when you were in college?
Yeah, right when I was, I think it was in eighth grade, picked up my first camera and just thought it was the coolest thing ever that I could make videos and then put them in a timeline, edit them, and then create this like digital product or this digital vision that I had in my head before I went out and made it. It was like the coolest thing ever to me. So all the way through high school, I was doing that. As a freelance guy, just anything I could video, you name it.
Like weddings.
Real estate weddings, small business, like header videos for websites, you name it. Like anything I could get my hands on. I just loved it. The videoing itself, the editing, the producing, the everything. And then in entering Grand Valley, I knew exactly what I wanted to major in, film and video. And then 2 years, no, about 1 year, 2021. Is when I first started posting my social media videos. So I was like 1 or 2 months away from graduating when I started my TikTok. So 2021, because I graduated in April.
So you had this tail on already of videos and editing. So you're like, before you graduate, you're like, I'm going to create a TikTok?
Well, I people don't believe me when I tell them this. I started at TikTok as a complete, it was a bet. I made a bet with my buddy, Jaden, who was showing me TikTok videos at the time in 2020. He was like, look at these videos. You're so funny. They're hilarious. And I was like, that is the most brain dead, nonsense, degenerate, stupid brain rot thing I've ever seen. I could make something way funnier and way more viral than that. He's like, I bet you can. It's not that easy. And then just to prove him wrong, I started my channel and started posting miscellaneous weird things that I thought had potential to go viral. And then it was like four or five videos in, it, one of them really popped off and it was like 5 or 6 million views.
What was it?
Oh, gosh.
This is before like...
This is the very beginning. It was... the first one that went really big was the green screen Zoom call from the car. And there's a laptop on my dash.
Yeah.
And I'm filming the laptop and it pans around and it's me like giggling and it looks like I'm in an office, but I'm in the car. That one was my first mega, mega viral video.
Because you had the green screen behind you and then you showed what it would look like if someone was on the other side of you. Like, because you know, you look like you're in an office. You had the green screen behind you.
Mm.
So how do you show that it looks like you're in an office?
Well, to the people on the call,
yes,
they don't have any perspective or they don't know where I am.
Exactly.
The green screen is directly behind me. So then you activate within Zoom your background, your custom background, because you can choose.
But then do you record the Zoom as well? So then you could get the clip of you. Of-
oh, well, some of them, whenever I'm faking it, some of them are real.
Yeah, so some of them are real.
Live calls that I'm on. So they'll be screen recorded.
Got it. And that's how, so that's how it kind of started. So it was like a bet. And then you're like, wow, this worked.
Yeah.
And were you addicted?
No, once it worked, I was on a high in the beginning. I was like, oh my gosh, I did. This is insane. Look how much attention I'm getting. I got
like how many TikTok followers do you have?
Right now, today?
Yeah.
8.5 million.
Keep going. So you're like on a high, you're making these videos, you win the bet with your friend, then what's next?
And I was like, gosh, how do I keep this going? Let me just, social media as a whole is you're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, seeing what resonates with people, seeing what's funny, how do they react, what do they think each time that, because the concept of the green screen Zoom calls could have flopped and not resonated with people just as good as the odds of it succeeding. I didn't know. Nobody knows until you try. So then I kept that thing going for about a year and totally milked it until there was nothing left to do. It was like I'd done a car, a dirt bike, a football game, skydive, a scuba dive, a trampoline, like every possible imaginable place you could take a silly Zoom call with your fake backdrop from. I had done. I was like, dang, okay, what do I do next? And that's where the big butt character came in after year one.
Yeah, you got this big butt, which we all know, you know, if it's real, we all know. And and those like khaki shorts that you're wearing now.
Yep. Yeah, the story behind these is why people always ask, why are you wearing the same outfit in every video? It was because in the beginning, I was doing a lot of videos at night with my fake security guards. And if I'm wearing all black or darker colors at night, it doesn't stand out as good on video. So I just chose something that was a lighter color.
And got it.
Cream just happened to be that.
So color. You're making these videos, the big butt, things like, were you making money at this point then?
No, I wasn't making real money in the first 2.5 years. Because the like I had mentioned earlier, the way that I make real money is from the brand deals and the ad campaigns.
Yep.
And they will not pay you good money until you've proven yourself and they see that you're consistent and you're getting or averaging millions of views every single video because you're a bet to them. They look at you and they're like, okay, we see he is going to average. He averages this many millions of views. We should pay him this much money and we're going to be confident that the video is going to perform X amount. You know, every influencer is a gamble for them.
Yeah, totally. So if you're not looking at his pages, Genworth, Frankie LaPenna, LAPENNA. Look at it, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, now Snapchat. You can see all these different accounts. So, yeah, these brand deals are making bets. So do you have an agent that negotiates these mm-hmm. brand deals, or do you just do it?
Yeah, I have an agent that will handle all the email threads. Sometimes it'll be like 200 long-length email threads, and he's going back and forth about the contract or about the specific deliverables, because the brand will say, we want one video for X amount of dollars. And he'll say, well, how about we put it together as a package, four videos across 2024 and X amount instead as like a package deal. Or he'll just say, one of them will offer me like a low ball and be like, no, get out of here.
Yep.
No, thanks. Just all the BS and miscellaneous stuff. Cause as a creator, I should be focusing on the creative, right? I shouldn't be.
Yep. So in these shorts that you make now, do you wear like the brand's logo or like?
No. So a lot of the brands, and what I think I'm really good at is brand awareness, getting maximum views and eyeballs. So it'll be, for instance, the Professional Fight League is one I've been really successful with.
Yep.
Hundreds of millions of views on every single video where we do the fake knockout skits. They're real hits. I'm not getting knocked out for real, but they're real hits. And they will, like last year I did four videos with them and they take care of me, pay me pretty well. I'm not supposed to legally say what they pay me. They could get me in trouble, but they do pay me well.
And I was like, do you put the logos on your body? But instead, no. What you do is you go interact with the Professional Fight League and do skits. You did this. Yep. The NFL is also a client of yours. Yep. You've done like NFL Combine where you ran the thing and they're announcing it. He's looking like he's going. It's a great video. Cue that in the B-roll. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah. So it'll be like physical comedy within their venue. And their branding is everywhere. Not on me, but it's on the PFL. It's on the cage.
Yep.
The NFL Combine, it's in the backdrop. And also they're getting tagged in the descriptions about them or the caption. And then they'll go and engage with the video and comment. And then I'll pin it at the top.
Yep.
And then it'll just – a lot of talk will happen. A lot of sharing of the video will happen. And
They go viral. I'm looking at your views. So do you have like one that was like the craziest request that someone wanted you to do that you didn't do? Like that you got request – like the Professional Fighting League's one, NFL, like anything like – I don't know. They want you to go at the zoo and be in a tiger's cage with theirs. I don't freaking know.
Yeah, I mean, no, nothing. None of the brands have asked me to do something insane. But like, for instance, I mean, it'd be crazy if the Professional Fighting League was saying, we want you to get knocked out. That was my first thought was, let's make killer videos that lots of people would enjoy and laugh at. And the only way to do that, if you're in a fight cage, is you got to get knocked out. So every time I do a video with them, there's a fake knockout happening, which a lot of them hurt bad.
Wow.
Hurt really bad. If you plug some of the videos in here as B-roll, you see them getting absolutely smoked in the face.
It's like a Mike Tyson punch out.
Yeah, one of them got me right in the forehead. That one, I got kicked in the face. I got elbowed in the face, straight.
Your forehead looks great.
Punch in the face. Yeah, it's a miracle I haven't broken a nose doing them.
No, it's crazy. So, all right, so we were in college and you were like, okay, make these videos. You had a bet with your friend Jaden. You got these views and then you graduate and then you, started that green screen and then this big butt persona takes place and you're recognized. I mean, you're doing videos with the biggest of the big singers, to other influencers from Dobrik to Jason Derulo. And you know, you're out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Like, isn't it like kind of crazy that you have 8.17 million followers on YouTube that I'm looking at right now. Isn't it kind of crazy that like you're just in your apartment, your house, whatever, doing this stuff and you've able to create a career? Like, I don't know.
It is wild. Yeah. They say that kids nowadays don't want to be astronauts. They want to be YouTubers. That's like the number one profession that kids want.
Yeah.
They say that they want. It is wild. I hope that I'm an example as far as like you said, being born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that I hope I'm an example. You could do this anywhere. You don't have to be in Los Angeles or New York or a big city where all of them congregate out there. It's like, why do you want to be near where everyone and their cousin is doing this internet digital stuff? I would rather be an outlier in a small city. And the only time that I would need to be in California for my video concepts is like if I need a palm tree or something, you know, like it could do anything. I could do everything that I've been doing from Michigan. I don't need to go to Los Angeles. Like if I'm going to collaborate with some other internet people, yeah. But the videos are, end of the day, you're either making good, funny videos or they suck and they're not good. No matter where you are, it's not going to change.
But is it sometimes that they're, like you say, not good, but like sometimes if you don't get the views, does it mean that they're not, wasn't good, or the algo didn't pick you up properly?
If you're asking that about TikTok, that is a separate story. But generally speaking, yes, if the video is not performing, it's your own fault. Video is just not resonating with people.
It's good. I got to tell our people here that at Benzinga. Okay, good. All right.
But if you're doing branded, if you have a business account, it's totally different than a creator account, because they know that you are operating a business or potentially promoting products or services, and they will suppress your views because they want you to pay for that because they know that you're going to make money.
Okay.
Versus like a creator individual account, it's a different playing field.
Got it. Okay, now TikTok is giving you has changed recently.
TikTok has become complete garbage since they came out with the shop. Everything. Also, this is one thing that one of my reps at TikTok told me has changed about their algorithm since all these wars started happening. There's a lot of like videos that leak of beheadings or bombs or people getting thrashed to bits. And so because of that, TikTok has to batten down the hatches and make the algorithm more strict to not let videos sneak through and leak through of bad things. And so as a result of that, everyone else gets effed and their videos are getting taken down for completely unreasonable reasons. Dozens and dozens of my videos have been taken down the past 6 months.
And when they get taken down, are you able to argue it?
No. You can. It never works.
My son, he was doing his interviews at the Rocket Mortgage Golf Tournament. His account went from zero to 25, 40,000 followers or subscribers, and they took it down because he was like, even though I was doing it with him, he was underage, you know, he was in 13, and it was just such a pain in the ass to
No, everyone's videos are just getting flagged for literally videos of me. Like the go-kart video Aaron was just brought up over here earlier. Me just driving around go-karts with a couple guys up north, and it did 50 million views and got 4-something million likes, and they took it down because it was dangerous. Videos of me running around with my security guards on the baseball field taken down. Nothing insane.
Where you get the security guards from, by the way?
They're all my buddies back home that are on college basketball teams.
Okay.
So they're just basketball guys.
All right, so here's a little bit of rapid fire. Some people wanted to know about your mustache. Sold on eBay or something? Yeah. How'd you come up with the idea for that?
Gosh. I really don't remember the initial moment that I came up with that idea. It just dawned on me one day. What if I sold it? Because people are obsessed with it online. So how could I sell it? And I was like, what if I just shaved it, collected all the hairs, and then reassembled it on a portrait, which was like scaled the size of my face, with glue, and then just laid it over where my real mustache hair is, where it was on the photo.
Yeah.
And it turned out amazing. I went to a taxidermist to get his professional opinion and see how much it would cost, see how long it would take.
Yeah.
He was like, what are you talking about? Get out of here. And like, so me and my buddy did it.
Yeah, like, so get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
He's like, it would take forever. Each individual hair to try to reassemble, because they all fall a certain way my face right now, but when you shave it off, they're all out of whack. Try to replace the hairs. And so the first one sold for $2,750 on eBay. Some guy in Florida, he should be on a watch list, bought it. He said it was a birthday present for one of his buddies.
That is unbelievable. Of your mustache glued to a piece of like a cardboard.
No, a mustache glued to a high resolution photo.
The photo on the photo. So it was a photo, not cardboard, but it was on a photo.
Correct, framed nicely. And I mean, this could be a big niche if internet celebrities or just celebrities in general started doing it. That would be addition one. Like if it did become a big thing, it was like, oh my gosh, this is the next trend. These celebrities are selling their hair and reassembling it. Or something along those lines. Like Dr. Disrespect. You know that guy? He's a big gamer. Really, really killer mustache. If he were to do it and sell it, he would make a lot of money, I bet.
Yeah.
So somebody just needs to start the snowball effect. And then if it becomes a big thing, that guy has addition one of the movement.
Well, now you can sell your mustache again.
Yeah. Or then my mustache is will be worth a lot more because I would be like patient one.
Yeah.
Or artist one.
Have you always had a mustache?
No, I grew it during the lockdown because no one was seeing me. I wasn't going out.
Okay.
So I thought it was just a fun thing. I like shaved my head and grew a mustache because nobody was seeing me. So
now, do you keep the mustache because of your appearance on social media? Or
yeah, just, once like, I grew it out, it was the first time I had grown out a mustache ever. And it was in 2020. And then I was like, oh, it looks kind of good. I'll keep rocking it.
I don't know if I could even grow one. Yeah, I don't know. So, okay, you have these personalities, these two different personalities. At first, the green screen guy, the Jim Kardashian. How do you, like, what's your process for coming up with this content and these viral ideas?
Yeah, it's probably a pretty boring answer. It's just constantly thinking every moment of every day, like even on the drive here, I'm taking a shower, when I'm eating, whenever I'm at the gym, doesn't matter when. The worst time to think about an idea is sitting down and trying to think about an idea, for me at least. Just constantly be thinking throughout the day whenever you're doing daily tasks, and they'll come to me.
So
that way,
yeah. And the Jim Kardashian is a takeoff of Kim Kardashian in the butt.
Yeah, I didn't come up with that term. Somebody commented that, and it was the top comment.
Oh,
on my first super super viral butt video, that was the top comment.
Have you ever met Kim Kardashian?
No, I really wonder if you've seen any of my videos, though.
I think everyone's seen your videos. When I said that you were coming here today, the whole office is, oh, I know it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what comes up on her algorithm.
Yeah, that's a good question. So this NFL advertisement you did, one of them, was supposedly the number one social media share of the NFL.
Yeah. That is wild, yeah.
Do you get paid more when you get more shares, or just like...
Yeah, I wish it was like that. We should have negotiated a contract where it's like every million views, I get X amount of dollars.
Or ever.
No, no, I'll tell you. I think the contract is expired. I don't think they would care. So for that video that was groundbreaking, it's like the industry standard now that they show their investors or their marketing team.
Didn't you win some award for it too?
Yeah. So that video got first place for best original content at hashtag sports awards.
Okay.
And I want you to guess how much they paid me for that video. That was my first one I did with them, and it was in 2021, October.
Well, I was going to say a higher number. Now you got me positioned to lower. So yeah. I was going to say 50, but now I'm going to go 10.
Five. $5,000 for that video.
And that video had how many views?
Hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah, I saw there was some weird account in India that reposted it when back in 2021 when it was going viral. I saw 60 million views. Weird little India account.
Isn't it weird how they can just repost your content on their feed and then get the revenue if they make ad revenue from it?
Yeah, there's a software online that you can do and set up to collect that back. I haven't ever really cared to do it. My agents offered it to me before. But
well, there's something to be said. The more play, the better. Like, we can get our videos on more platforms if we just want to give it away, like, open source.
Yeah. So it's, you could argue either way.
Yeah.
Is it worth going after that ad revenue or just let them give you the exposure?
So when you post, do you use software to automatically go to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube at the same time? Or do you go to each platform and post?
Individually,
okay.
Yeah.
So that was the number one social share of the NFL. That's freaking crazy.
Yeah, number one. It was written about in like six different languages, articles that I saw. It was such a big deal that I was allowed to do a video with Roger Goodell for the next one.
That's what I saw in the Zoom.
Yeah, which they, Roger Goodell.
And the Ravens never, coach.
They said that was the biggest deal ever, that he would do a video with an influencer. They said that never happens.
Trying to get Roger to our event here at the draft. He'll be in town, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You got to announce a draft pick. You got to do something. The draft is right in your hometown. You can operate out of here. Yeah,
you got to shoot him a text after this.
Yeah, you operate out of here. It's no brainer. We'll be here. We have a bunch of people coming. So that was that's crazy with the NFL. And then you've done more with them. So then you did more with them after that. So I'm assuming you got paid a little bit more after that.
Yeah, it went up, but it still wasn't crazy because The NFL is notorious for lowballing.
Yeah, you started at a lower number. But, you know, something to be said for getting the brand out there, like Super Bowl.
That was a career-changing moment for me. So if I had not done that with them, I'm not sure I'd be sitting here.
Yeah, it's win-win. It's win-win. Yeah, like,
so I would have done it for free.
Like some people are like, how much are you paying? How much are you paying me?
Yeah.
The thing that I learned, money fouls doesn't lead. And so, like, now you're at a different level, so you get paid more. So when you're starting, you get paid less. It's just like a singer going into bars back in the day. And then Taylor Swift, that's what she used to do. And right, like, she couldn't say, hey, pay me $50,000 back in the day. So yes, you want to get paid more, but, you know, then it all, I mean, hopefully that's what works out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's like the Wild West right now for social media. There's no standard.
Yes.
That's rate. Everyone is different. I am worth more to the NFL than 1,000 other creators randomly selected. Like, my following and my demographic is more on par with theirs. So if there was XYZ influencers, they're not worth as much as I am to them.
All right. So we took a little intermission. Hope you checked out Benzinga Pro during this intermission. But we're back with Frankie, the guy who has more social media followers than anyone I've had in this room here. So you do these stunts. Anything crazy? I see these belly flops that you do. Anything that you get hurt, or are you still just doing creative stunts, but you haven't really gotten hurt yet?
Yeah, the worst stunt injury that I've sustained was from Nitro Circus. If you're familiar with that, the thing that Travis Pastrana does where they have all the crazy action sports people doing flips, and they invited me there. They didn't suggest, but they said, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I got to hit the ramp. They call it the Giganta ramp.
Yeah, okay.
And had zero instruction. They gave me some instruction. It's very tough to teach somebody. Had zero practice. There's no practice runs. There's just kind of a few tips here and there. It's insane that they let me do that. But I guess I've done enough internet stunts for them to be confident to let me attempt it. And I just absolutely slammed so hard face first.
And it just killed?
Destroyed my leg. I had a huge hematoma? I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Huge baseball right on my front calf. I can send you a picture of it. It is ugly.
So the one I want you guys to put in the B-roll, the world's quickest knockout. So I just played it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is freaking hilarious.
Sounds a classic.
Boom, yeah.
Right in the forehead.
Yeah. How many times do you have to film that to get it to be like that?
I think it was like 6 takes.
Oh, my God.
You got me in the neck or the ear or the... It's hard to time because it looks not too difficult when it's slowed down like that, but it happens so fast. For him to, like, wind up, cock back, and keep in mind I'm running at him and jumping. So for him to aim exactly where we needed his hand to go was very tough.
Okay, so that's that one. How about for the belly flop, Olympic trampoline, you know, at a pool party? Is that just a one-time thing? And this is the greatest video ever.
Yeah, no, I didn't get hurt at all. It was super fun to watch.
Oh, and you could do a flip there. That's cool. Look at that. Where was that?
Excuse me. That was at Grand Valley.
Oh, my God.
Allendale.
So the trampoline was there. Was it just that you went out? Were you already, like, famous at your school back then? Or, like...
I just knew that pool party was going to be happening and thought, what could I do?
By the way, where was this pool party? Like, it was at Grand Valley, but, like, is that an apartment complex?
Yeah, Meadows apartment
they
complex.
They have this, like, this is a...
They have pools at all the off-campus apartments, yeah.
This is a great pool party. Do you ever go back to it?
It's coming up in August.
Yeah.
I'm probably too old to go to it now. I'm 26.
That's I hear you. Yeah. I just went up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and went to Rick's after for 10 minutes. My gray hair, I felt like I was 95 years old. It was like almost embarrassing being there.
Yeah, no, I'll go back if there's another video to be made.
All right. We'll film it. Okay, so and then you do a lot of these crazy things in Michigan. Like, where do you find these people to film with?
A lot of people will just reach out to me if they have a video that they think has potential, because they know me or they see my crazy stunts online, and then they'll be like, hey, I got a jet-powered pontoon boat over in Grand Haven. Do you want to come do something with it? And then I'll
oh my gosh,
yeah, let's wakeboard behind it. Or there's the kids with the go-karts up north, and they'll see me online.
Because
like we said, the videos get so many views. They see what I'm doing, and then they'll offer up their contraptions.
Their go-karts or... Okay, what advice would you give to a content creator or aspiring entrepreneur trying to do what you did?
Advice. Don't get into it because you want to get famous or rich or both. If you get into it for the wrong reasons, it's never going to pan out. You got to, like I mentioned, I was obsessed with and really like impassionate about making videos. So that came first.
Got it.
And that's my top priority. And the like the money and the success will follow. So you got to go passion first. And then, because you can tell if somebody online is trying to get attention by doing stupid things and are trying to clout chase or just want to be famous, it's you can kind of smell it from a mile out, you know?
No, it's passion. Any big, like, what's the biggest challenge or have you had a big challenge that you faced in the last 5 years doing all this stuff?
It's just the weekly, daily challenge of, like, not getting injured is the biggest thing. Because it's so, I don't know how, but it's just become so physical. It's like every week I'm almost breaking my neck.
Yeah.
So, I do love pushing myself. There's so many stunts where I didn't know if I would make it or if I could do it or if I'd be all right.
Yeah.
And then being able to like pull that off and execute it, it's the best feeling ever.
I wonder if you could become like a paid consultant to like brands or like companies. I know brands you do marketing for, but like how to grow and like do stuff. So like we're Benzinga, we do financial media, we do sports, we do, and we like report the news, but like, and Carly who's sitting here in the room, like, is there a way we should do it crazier that makes people want to see, like, I remember Bob Menery did a video. He was drunk. It was on Instagram Live, I think, and it was hitting a golf ball through door walls, and the door walls was this much open, and he was like 5 yards. So most likely he was going to get it through. But I stayed on the thing because I wanted to see if he got it through, or if it went and hit the glass, and then the window would break. So there was suspense there, and it made me tune into it. And I say, well, like, you need to create that suspense, which you people want to see your videos because like for that one we just looked at with the underwear advertisement with the match and passing gas, like you want to see what the result is.
Exactly.
You know, and like it seems like it comes so easy to you where I think it comes a lot harder to others, you know?
It is. It's like a lot of human nature and psychology of packaging these videos in like 10 seconds, the first 2 seconds, first 1 second, you got to convince them to stay to watch the rest of the video.
Okay.
And then once they watch the full video, if they're laughing and it was really like resonated with them, then they're going to like it, they're going to share it, they're going to comment on it, and the video is going to go super viral. So you got to package it all in such a short amount of time because people have like severe ADHD from just scrolling. To get them to stop and watch a video, you got to do some convincing.
Yeah. Mr. Beast, like you're like in the same vein as Mr. Beast. I mean, he spends a lot on his stuff and he's the biggest YouTuber there is, but he does the longer videos. And that's where, like, have you thought about doing longer videos?
That's my goal for 2024. Get more into the, it's a whole other beast to tackle, long form videos.
No, but it costs money to do and all, like, okay, now you have some merch. Now, I know this, I'll talk.
Another cough attack, sorry.
I know, you have water. You have water. I'm gonna talk this out. So, Frankie is coming out with this thing in April. It's a game. It's actually a game. It's not out yet, but you're going to be able to buy it. I don't know where you're going to buy it. If you go to his website,
any of my social medias,
it's a game. And inside the game,
comes this butt.
Yes. We show the butt. That's what it's a family game. I love it. Get your achievements to, this is great. It's great. So let me see the butt. Show it on the Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow.
There you go.
Oh yeah. What'd you say? They want me to wear this thing here. So it's a game looking for a game that combines competition and butt slapping. Then you've turned over the right box. So this is like trivia. Say the word without closing your mouth. Backpack. Wait. Say the word without closing your mouth.
So you have to say it like backpack.
Say the word. Okay. Yeah.
So there's five different categories of cards. There's two teams, and the two teams are competing against each other to try to get rid of their pile of cards as quick as possible. And the butt sits in the middle of the table, and people screw up. There's a lot of rules when it comes to each of the five card categories. And if you break the rules, the opposing team is just waiting for you to screw up, and then they reach, smack the cheeks, and they smack you with a penalty. They add cards to your deck, and so you're further away from winning because you want to get rid of your cards.
Okay. And if you win, then
if you win, I don't
know. So what do you do with this? You hit this at the, like,
if they screw up rules, there's a lot of rules.
That's
okay. So you smack them with a penalty.
Ah, okay. Got it. Okay. Yep. I'm about to slap. All right. That's good. I like
that. And it's just fun.
No. And so this company contacted you and came up with this concept.
This is actually my good buddy that I met early on when I was doing the social media videos. He's over here in Detroit. I'm going to see him after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he is a board game expert genius.
He comes out with like board games and stuff?
Yeah, he has some on shelves in Target. And I guess my character, Big Buck character, inspired him.
This is great. Maybe there was a Benzinga board game. We got to think of a board game for his buddy. You knew this guy from growing up?
From social media. I met him in 2021 on Upper Straits Lake, if you know where that is.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly where it is. I know exactly where that is. So he, FKA Games. Is that him?
Yeah, he is. I think it's a new LLC, FKA Games. I'm not sure how old it is.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, is there any dream collab you want to do with someone? Anyone?
There is. I just was asked this the other day. Gosh, I feel like the cop out answer for you is Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I didn't ask you this one. What? How much did you spend on the butt signal?
Oh, I think it was $850. Yeah, the flashlight was 650, 700, which anyone can buy that flashlight.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the butt signal.
Yeah, so you're investing your time and energy. Any cheat codes to grow the followings for anything?
Cheat codes
or any like insights that. You're a master. 4 billion views. What you've done, Frank, is not an easy thing.
You can go through and study my videos. It's so there is a cheat code. I tell brands this also. You want a 10-year-old to be able to watch your video and explain to another 10-year-old what's happening and why it's funny. And also you should be able to mute your video and understand exactly what's happening.
Wow.
Then there's no language barrier and it's super simple. It simplifies everything. And another thing is you want to keep the video short. People's attention span is poop and you want to make sure that it's like, ideally I'll make mine anywhere from 9 to like 13 seconds.
Wow.
For maximum views and growth.
Carl, you hear that? 9 to 13 seconds.
Yeah. And then also I mentioned earlier, the first 1 to 2 seconds is critical. You need to hook them. Just like with when you're writing a book, like you want the beginning to be really good, you know? Otherwise, they're not going to hang around. The biggest thing for video performance is watch time. Like, are they watching the full video?
When you're saying the news, like Carly reads the news, I was thinking like she's just standing there reading the news. Like, is there something that's more risky that people would tune in to see? Does she fall? You know what I mean? If she was like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all my videos are comical. So
if she was staying on 1 foot, you know what I mean? Like maybe that's something like...
Just different. You got to be different. And it depends what you're going for, though. If you want to go the comedy route like me, then you got to do stuff like that. But if you want to...
Yeah.
It just depends what you want to
do. No, I get it. So this year you're working on longer YouTubes. People can follow you on social media. We'll post all the social media things here. Are there any other new things you're working on that you haven't done in the past besides the board game?
New things. No, just continuing down the path of the short form social media and the Snapchat thing that I recently got into. Just keeping consistent what I've been doing is the plan.
It's amazing that, I guess, to wrap this up, Randy, it's amazing that what you've built from Grand Rapids, Michigan, you didn't move to LA to be in like the Sway House or one of those houses. You did this from learning about editing video, figuring it out, and then posting. And you created so many followers. And you said how many TikTok followers, YouTube followers. It's insane. It's so hard to get followers. Like I could do an interview with Michael Jordan it's hard for people to find it because there's so much content out there. Yeah. What you've done with the first second, 9 seconds, like it's, your channels should be a course in college. And it's like social media, because that's what you've done is very hard to repeat.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. A course in college, they, when I was at Grand Valley, they spoke very lowly, said avoid social media. Don't. They don't see that. They're old professors. They didn't see any potential in it. But
and you make a pretty good living doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, you
yeah.
make the YouTube revenue we talked about, but do you have enough brand sponsors that you make
it very comfortable? A lot more money than the other kids that graduated in my class, my age group are making today.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't seem like you use your fame for access to things, but...
No, it's very cringe. If that's like the LA yep. influencer. That's yep. why I don't want to go there and be around those people. LA attracts a certain type of person where it's like... entire city is about money and fame and who's yep. the most famous, who's getting to that party and who's.
Yep. I get it.
Yeah. It's but,
all right. Well, I appreciate you coming in, going on the Raz Report and explaining what you do, how you did this, going from zero to what you've created. I mean, billions and billions and billions of views. It's very, very difficult. And we were excited for a while to have you on. Hope to have you on again.
Yeah,
make sure guys check out But What when it comes out in April. You got to buy it, support.
Yeah, this is my like first ever product that I am attached to.
FKAGames.com. And then it also comes with this amazing butt. I know my 7-year-old is going to be all about this thing. This thing's going to sell like hotcakes. This is so.
Hopefully.
This is great. So thank you guys
for the Raz
Report.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.